injuries following Bolton. Any to update on?
No, none. We've got the squad that we had. Obviously, we're still missing Mark Bradley's. We know Rob Mewson, Richard Woods had a little clean out in his knee over a few weeks. And Conor Newton, who's no figure for us this season, is just coming back from a little hernia rot, which is about a couple of weeks now. So, yeah, apart from that, we're in good shape.
I was going to ask about Newton. I mean, what's happened to him? Why the delay, I suppose?
Well, I suppose initially his performances were rubbish. That's a comment. They weren't good enough to get in the first team squad, so he wasn't in the first team squad. And then obviously he's played some training ground games and was feeling his groins, and the scan showed there was a minor altercation with one of the muscles in there, so it's got a hernia, I believe. So he's gone and he got that tidied up, and you know he'll be back on the training ground on Monday.
Hall, where's he at then in his recovery?
Well, he was very close to being picked at Bolton. He's come back from injury and he's been quite exceptional in training, so he's very close.
Because he perhaps brings a width to the team, doesn't he, that maybe isn't there at times?
Well, I don't really look at the width because I thought Paul Taylor was excellent the other night, but I thought if anything, Wadsworth was the best player in the park for 70 minutes. And so I think we've got those areas right, but Ryan's a good player and we wouldn't have seen him otherwise.
When you look at what happened the other night and the final analysis, I suppose, in contemplation for Charlton, do you look at changes for that one and just changing things around?
Well, you have to be fair to every person in your squad. That's the first thing, and you have to let not your eyes tell your lies. Why do we lose at Bolton? Because our goalkeeper cost us two goals and our left-back don't help with two of them either. But I would also come back on that and say our goalkeeper's had some terrific performances in the Miller shirt. And I'd also like to come back on that and say our left-back's been one of the most steady, consistent players that we've got in the squad. But we're the first to give out praise and talk about special things. But also in the group, we can identify things and say that needs to be better. And we shouldn't have to go away from home in the Championship and score three times to at least get a point. We should have gone the other night. We were 1-0 up. We were by far the better side. We had all the play. Paul Taylor hits the post and these things happen. If it goes in, it's game over. And then we had some big errors, and when you have some big errors, you get punished.
Is it a symptom of life, perhaps, in the Championship that there is less, even less, margin for error than you'll get in League One?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how many strikers in League One would have been on the move when the ball goes into the box the way that young Mason was for Bolton. But if Scarsley, who's nominated marker, tracks him, there's no danger there, but he didn't track him. But I don't know how many would be on the move like that. So the margin for error is less. And as we feel when we switch off like we did, it was a different player. Richie Smallwood switches off to Bournemouth and we get caught in the score. And it seems to be if you make a mistake, you get punished.
You've had a few games now to metaphorically at least get your feet under the table, and within that period of time you've changed, you've had a look at various different players in certain positions and done different things to suit the opposition or to combat the opposition. Going forward, do you continue with that, or do you say, right, eventually I want a starting 11, we'll play our certain way and this is what's going to happen?
Oh no, you've got to change tactically. You know, we did last year, but it probably get noticed less because we win every week, don't we? So, but the one thing that the two or three good people in the game, good managers at the level have reminded us of, we've been in every game and we've played in the Championship. We've been in every game and they've been very close. And we probably sit here and think, quite 100%, we're probably 6 or 7 points adrift of where our performances deserved us to be. Not, you know, pally-wally, silly stuff that you don't really think when you analyse it. We are, you know, we should have got something at Bolton. We should have certainly beat Brentford and Watford at home. I'm not so sure we should have beaten Wolves. I think we should have lost that. So it's quite interesting. And the same as we should have got a point at Derby at least. So, but over the season, they tell you you get what you deserve. And if that's the case, we've got a few wins to get.
It's interesting you mentioned about what people notice, etc., because obviously we're in regular contact with the fans and what have you, and we say, look, what if there's questions you would like to ask your manager, not just you, but the rest of them, about whatever they wish. And they've been in touch with us and spoken about how Rotherham are, or how they feel Rotherham are approaching games differently this year as opposed to last. And I suppose if I was to pick a theme, are you a bit more cautious this year than you would have been last year in League One, perhaps because of the quality of the side you're facing right now?
Oh, absolutely. Do they think Steve Evans is going to take a team up to the Championship and leave herself open with Premiership players. They think my name's Donald Duck. I've got to keep us in the games.
And part of the reason why I asked that, Steve, is because last year we saw, obviously, Revel up front. It doesn't matter about personnel, but two wingers bombing on. It was frighteningly fast at times. Have you actively looked and thought this year we might have to play it a bit different?
Well, listen, this squad is much better than the squad we had last year. And this squad would win League One as it is now, comfortably. There's not a team in League One in our league. They're not near us. But the Championship is a whole different ballgame. The quality of player can hurt you. There's more 4-5-1s. There's more people behind the ball. But there's more people when they get that ball. My God, they can play with that ball and they can open you up. And I'm not going to listen to anyone else. I'm going to take my own advice. And I've took all the advice in the summer and all the advice over the last 2 or 3 months with managers. Is if you go and open yourself up, you'll get picked off. We opened up in the second half against Watford. What happened? 2-0. We opened up against Brentford. What happened? 2-0. We're going to stay in the games.
I suppose it comes from, perhaps this is a reaction to, for 2 years you've seen a Rotherham team, or we've seen a Rotherham team be the dominant force, if you like, throughout the divisions upon promotion, that this year it has to be different, doesn't it?
But if you look at Burnley as an example, they were exceptional in the Championship last year. No one wanted to play against them. They were the Rotherham of the Championship. They had all the energy, all the spark, all the forward movement. They've gone up to the Premier League. They don't get the ball. And when they do, they get it taken off them. That's reality. It's all about levels. For players, for managers, for systems, you have to accommodate the level you're playing at. And we're not going to go out against Charlton at the New York tomorrow and go gung-ho and be 3-0 down at half-time. It's not going to happen.
In terms of selection right now, and putting hands up, Bowery, 2-2. It's not bad, is it, in terms of claiming that starter striking shirt?
Well, if you look at the individual start of 2-2, you'd say it's exceptional. But I'd say he'd done nothing at Bournemouth but scored a goal from a corner.
Right, wasn't he?
So, and he comes on against Bolton, he doesn't do a lot either, but scores a goal. And if he does nothing for the rest of the season, scores a goal again, he'd be worth a lot of money. Jordan's a young man that he's young. People forget how young he is. We think really highly of him. We didn't sign him here for him not to play a part, but he has to earn the right to play a part. And we have a little saying in our football club, led by our chairman, don't make a point, prove a point. You have to say in 2 games, Jordan's proved a point. Mm.
One other player I just wanted to bring up briefly, Becchio, he's clearly trying to get his form and fitness up right now. I know it's always how long's a piece of string, but in terms of hitting the types of numbers you would be if you were 100% fit, how far away is he from that right now?
Well, we never hid it when we signed him. It would be post the next international break, which is 2 weeks. And we said that it would take us 4 weeks to get him up to speed. I thought he was a handful for Bolton the first half of the other night. And what people need to remember is it's very easy to bring a substitute on, and he looks full of life and full of running with 75 minutes on the clock compared to someone who's just been grafting you from the first minute. So we're delighted with Luciano. There's no doubt that he'll score goals for us and have a big part to play. But, you know, it would be another 2 weeks before we'd say, post-international, right, we've got him in the shape we need him to be in.
It's a difficult quandary, isn't it, for managers? You have a player who is without fitness. Do you play him for the first half and whatever, or do you try and build his fitness up in the last half an hour of games when somebody else has done all the legwork, as it were?
Well, it's a mix and match, really. It just depends on opposition. You can't say Luciano is not fit, because if you stand next to him, he makes you look fat, and that's not even considering me. So he's an incredibly fit boy, but there's a difference of being fit and being match fit, yeah, and sharp, and I think that's where we're coming to. His match sharpness is recovering daily. People don't see the work he's putting in the training ground and don't expect them to see the extra work that he's putting in the training ground to get him to fitness. But it's not about Luciano here. We've got 5 or 6 strikers, and if some of them were sitting on 4 or 5 goals, Luciano would be sitting next to me.
The Tuesday after the window shut, you said that as you were doing your dealings on the final day, you made another bid that would have eclipsed the transfer record at that stage. Just to go back to that briefly, is that player still on the agenda? Could you get that player as a loan?
Well, he's still on the agenda, and if we were going to do it alone, it would be early October.
Right. Is that a possibility then?
Yeah, everything's a possibility. You know, the advice that, the chats that myself and my chairman had with other chairman and other experienced managers in the league, and we went off for a few little visits ourselves in the summer and picked people's brains, etc. And, you know, they've not been far wrong, haven't they? They said you'd want to change three or four positions after six or seven games, and after 10, 12 games, it's probably another three or four, and you get to January, it may be another two or three, because the jump to the Championship is such a big one, and you don't realise it. You're in it every week. You know, we showed that we were cup tie last year with Sheffield Wednesday. Now, we all know the scoreline was tight, but we know the golf and the class and the game was massive. But I can remember talking to Dave Jones afterwards, and he said, "Evo, to go into that every week and play like that every week, you'll find it's just completely different." Dave Jones was right.
Final one before we come on to Charlton itself. Brandy, what does the immediate future, or the medium-term future, hold for him?
Well, Fabian will come back. You know, he's what people didn't realise is he was obviously injured for a lot of pre-season, and that don't help. So, he's one of those players that said to what we're with the fitness team behind the scenes for the last 4 or 5 weeks, Andy getting incredibly fit. And when we say incredibly fit, like Matt Sadler is down at Crawley, he's gone out there and Crawley used our training facilities earlier this week and said, "My God, you've sent Sadler to us in terrific shape." Well, all our players are in terrific shape. We don't forget the players here. It doesn't matter whether you're in our plans or not. So Fabian's gone out there in good shape. He needed some games. And it was my opinion that, you know, playing, you know, closed-door training games or reserve team fixtures don't give players like Fabian a spark. So they need to go and put themselves in the real environment. Unfortunately for him, because of his ability, he had three or four options. And the one that he chose was Crewe Athletic, and they're a good club with a good manager.
So I suppose I'm duty-bound to ask that this is not necessarily the beginning of the end of him, because there's always a natural wastage in football and players could ultimately end up somewhere else.
No, we've not thrown him out like Sheffield United did. He's still got a part to play for us. But he needs to get fit, match fit again. Think what we're doing here, we're putting him out to get match fit. Matt Sadler's going down to Crawley for a month to get match fit. And, you know, and if other players like young Conor Newton will come back from his hernia, he's not played since pre-season. He'll need to go and get match fit, you know. And if players choose not to, and they choose to stay in the reserves and go down that route, we've no issue with that. But what we say is there's nothing like 3 o'clock on a Saturday, whatever level you play, playing with that 3 points is the most important thing in the afternoon. With all due respect, we see reserve games up and down the country, under 21 games up and down the country. Result is not what's spoken about in the dressing room, it's about performance. Every first team game, whether you be non-league, whether you be 2-1 of the Championship or the Premiership, the result is what matters to the people that follow us.
Charlton then, how do you combat them?
I think with great difficulty given the start they've made to the season, unbeaten in the Championship. They've played a lot of the top sides. I had a good look at their the DVD yesterday of their performance against Wolves in midweek with the draw. And if the game had stopped at 45 minutes, I've just said it would have been 4 or 5-0 to Charlton, how good the first half performance was. But as we've always seen, they didn't put the game to bed, and they're playing against another top-class side in Wolves, who should have probably won the second half 3-0. So I've seen the good and the bad, but they're now taken over by a very rich man. There's a link-up with Standard Liège, and they've got a couple of players on loan from there who look quite exceptional for the level. We know how they'll line up. There'll be no secrets to how they'll line up. They'll be 4-5-1. They'll be efficient, they'll be quick, they'll be organised, and they'll be backed by a terrific Charlton support who, for the first time in a couple of years, are looking like a team that could go back to where they were fed up with, which was the Premier League.
Terrible, isn't it? They've yet to win away. I've not seen Charlton, so I have no frame of reference. So what does that suggest to you about how they may well come here and play?
Well, they'll be no different to the Watfords. They'll be no different to the Brentfords. And the first thing they'll do is they'll get themselves a foothold in the game, and they'll keep people behind the ball. But when they do get hold of the ball, then it's what we talk about, not getting cut open and like a knife through butter where they go through you. And they'll try and a counter-attacking system, which they'll do as effectively as they can.
Are you surprised they're unbeaten? I suspect if we were to look on the list, the bookie sheets in July or what have you, they will be one of the 5 or 6 certainties to go down. Yet here they are, they're unbeaten at this stage.
Well, I didn't subscribe to the one of the managers who thought they would go down, because I don't think you sit there with a billionaire owner and think about you're going to go from the Championship to League One. I think if you're a billionaire owner, you're more about putting blocks in places to maybe get to the Premier League, but it doesn't need to happen in your immediate first season. I think their transfer activity has been quite interesting. Their shape is not a surprise. Again, from a distance, I've seen them live in pre-season. They've got a very passionate manager who'll head and kick and shout for every decision, every ball tomorrow. And I've subscribed to that. If you've got passion, display it.